Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 846. This episode is brought to you by Life After. It's a new podcast from GE Podcast Theater and Panoply. So this is the same team behind The Message, and this podcast explores the questions like, what happens to our digital lives when we're gone? Could our online personalities be brought back to life, resurrected digitally, if you will? So start from episode one today, binge the rest. The story follows FBI employee Ross Barnes. He spends his days conversing online with his wife, Charlie, who died 8 months ago. The tech behind the digital resurrection leads Ross down a dangerous path that threatens his job, his own life, and maybe even the world. Subscribe to Life After wherever you get your podcasts. And now let's go to the Nerdist Community Corkboard. One of Kyle Clark's, our favorite walk-around Muppet, who hasn't been working on the podcast because he works on At Midnight now. He gets there at an ungodly hour. But one of Kyle's favorite bands, Lemuria, is going to be playing at the Echo in L.A. January 27th with Kaitana and Mikey Erg. The show's going to be celebrating the 10-year anniversary of their album Get Better. This is one of Kyle's favorite albums, and so he wanted us to let you know that the show is going to be amazing. Go to theecho.com for info and tickets. I miss Kyle Clark. But then I see Kyle Clark at work. I miss Kyle on the podcast. But then I see Kyle at Midnight. I just want to have his chuckle as my ringtone. You know, I'm going to do that. I can make him do that. He works for me. I can make him record his laugh rather than just stealing it off the podcast. Do you hear those sirens out there? They're going to pick up Kyle Clark and bring him back here to record his laugh for me. Get him, boys! Pretty seamlessly wove that environmental snafu into some comedy pyrite. Metallica is on this episode of the podcast. It's James and Kirk. You know, they were on, I think, 3 years ago? 4 years ago? Maybe 3 years ago, for when we were at Comic Con, and they were at Comic Con, and they did the documentary, and now they have a new album, Hardwired to Self Destruct, which is available everywhere. The nicest guys, Metallica, and really funny. Like it's obvious. We get into like some cartoon talk and some comedy talk, but they're good dudes, and it really was cool to have them back on, but actually have them in my studio instead of being at Comic-Con in a weird conference room that felt very artificial. I just need to be around my Star Wars wallpaper to feel comfortable. So get the album, Hardwired to Self-Destruct. This is Nerdist Podcast number 846, also brought to you by Stamps.com. The holidays are over, but that doesn't mean that going to the post office is any better. It's still not fun. You still have to find parking, wait in line, drive there, all the same things you had to do during the holidays. But you have a computer, and I assume you have a printer, so just print out official U.S. postage for any letter or package. Everything you do at the post office, you can do from your desk at a fraction of the cost. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com. Use the promo code Nerdist for the special offer. 4-week trial, including a $110 bonus offer with postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. Click the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Nerdist. That's Stamps.com. Enter the promo code Nerdist. All right, here's the Nerdist Podcast number 846 with Metallica. Can you roll the thing? Yeah!
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Have you ever shot anything at me? historic Hollywood Center Studios for?
I don't own a gun. No, I take that back. I do own a gun. I actually own a bunch of guns.
I'm more guns than any one man should ever have. This is a really historic lot. They shot Laurel and Hardy here. They shot Burns and Allen. Our stage was the original I Love Lucy stage.
Really?
So it's kind of a crazy... I don't think anyone ever really notices it when they're driving by, but they shot. There's a lot of really historic stuff happened here.
I love Lucy, too.
She was great.
What a nut.
I saw her just recently. Lucy. Check it out. Check. I even took a picture.
I feel like there is a scripted movie to be made about that show and just the shit that went on. I mean, just like their relationship deteriorating through the... But they still had to go out and, you know, do...
Desi Arnaz, yeah.
I don't know exactly when they got... I don't know if they split up during the show, but there was apparently some philandering that was happening during the... Oh, yeah, there she is. She looks great!
Everything's
great.
That was at Universal Studios. Okay.
Universal.
It's like you went to visit her grave. Okay, I saw her recently.
We dug her up. Yeah. Looks good, you know? Looks good. Yeah.
She still has all her color.
Still. You'd be surprised.
She looks just like she did on the Black and White show.
That's exactly right.
Thank you, bro.
Feel good?
Nice.
Thank you so much.
We're good. Oh. And now we're just alone. Now we're just weirdly alone. So many people hanging out. Is it?
Yeah, why? Who are all those people?
I don't know. I don't know. They're your people.
Are they?
I thought they were with you.
No, I don't know any of those people. I'm always really interested in where you... When you walk off stage and you're playing an arena and then you go in and then you're just in a weird, quiet room. Is that...
Like the toilet?
Like the toilet? Or just... I think... I don't know if humans are really... I don't know if we're really evolved to accept that kind of weird, to be in front of, like, you know, 40,000 people, and then you're just in this weird, quiet. Does that have a name, or is there a ritual, or is there a thing is there like a processing moment where you just kind of have to? All right, now I'm just alone.
It varies, but yeah, I get what you're saying. It's like you go from full on, all senses attacked and like flowing back and forth to pew.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Shutdown mode.
Well, yeah, I've noticed that, you know, there is that moment where you kind of realized, wow, everything's quiet. Everything's quiet around me. Everything's calmed down.
And I hear the... ringing in my ears really loud.
Yeah.
Can you turn some music on, please?
Yeah. The ringing in my ears, the pain in my shoulder and neck. I must have played a show.
Yeah. Well, I just think it's, you know, when you're in that mode, it's just, you're superhuman. Like, everyone seeing you is these, like, there are these deities have come down and they're providing this thing and, you know, it's rocking every, it's all senses, like you said, all senses. But then you just go back and you're like, I'm just a dude.
Yeah. Well, what really helps that is when my family's out on the road with me.
Yeah.
And we usually do a runner, you know, we go from the stage right into a SUV and then take off to go to whatever, shower, have dinner somewhere, hop in the car and, you know, the kids are like, Dad, what took so long? You know, it's like, oh, I'm doing this gig thing, you know?
You probably saw that arena full of people out there. Yeah, that was for your dad.
Yeah, the reason you're here. Yeah, uh-huh. Okay, yeah.
God, it doesn't matter what you do. Your kids are always going to give you shit.
Reality check.
Yeah, yeah. It's so true. Yeah.
What took you so long, Dad?
Yeah. Another thing.
Did you have to do a second encore?
Yes. Called an encore, yeah.
Yeah, we did. We did, as a matter of fact.
You know, another thing that I kind of realize after we play a show is like, and you know, a lot of times we do runners, like James said, straight off the stage into vehicles, and we're all in, like, you know, six vehicles speeding down the freeway toward an airport somewhere. And you know, at that point, sometimes I say, okay, quiet time, and then, like, you know, it happens so consistently. You know, from year to year, tour to tour, I sit there and I say to myself, okay, where's my cold pizza? Because, you know, you can never do a runner and have warm pizza. It's physically impossible. The pizzas have to come before you're off the stage, and they come, and they sit, and they get cold.
Yep.
And so inevitably, you know, I know I'm on tour when I'm sitting in the back of a van somewhere, speeding down the freeway, eating cold pizza.
Put it on the engine, man.
Yeah, you know, you could wrap it up. You could wrap it in foil and like put it on top of the carburetor or something.
Foil schmoil, come on.
Yeah, I know.
It's greasy already.
Yeah,
it's little just engine grease.
You know, that way it won't stick, right? Because of all the oil.
Exactly.
You know, you
might start a fire, but whatever.
You know, you need to
smoky
do is,
flavor.
You need to come up with the next. Like this generation's George Foreman grill. It's like the Kirk Hammett pizza warmer. Keeps pizza warm for hours.
Forever.
Forever.
After gig pizza glove or pizza.
The pizza glove.
No, because you
the pizza sock.
Pizza sock.
Oh. That's you don't see the pizza's balls when you're shooting, right?
Exactly.
You said it, I didn't.
Like cup of pizza gone to the next level.
The cup of pizza.
Next level. Yeah.
Do you ever feel like because of what you do that it would be – do you ever think, oh, I probably couldn't go make a weird pizza oven because I'm in Metallica and people be like, what the fuck are you doing? Or do you feel
That's why he got Metallica. Come on. Let's be honest
just
here.
To get the pizza oven thing out of the ground?
The pizza sock.
The pizza sock.
Yeah, all right.
Kirk Hammett's pizza sock. This is a fucking great idea.
That doesn't sound so hot.
It doesn't. What?
It's supposed to be hot. Yeah, it will be. You know someone's going to make it and then you can sue them.
We're
so
slipping.
There you go.
We're slipping right here.
No, this is the pizza stocking, you guys. It's not the
way
pizza
different.
Sock. Totally different.
I'm holiday version.
I'm Kurt Hammett. Different guy.
Yeah, different guy. I'm Clark Hamlet.
Yeah, of Metulica.
Metulica. Totally different. We play medium metal. Medium metal. Yeah.
Some adult contemporary. We're not, I don't play heavy metal. Play heavy tin.
Yeah, exactly. It's a totally different thing. Totally different.
Yeah.
But I always wonder, like, when you are so when you know when you're such a defining force in something as you guys are, do you ever feel trapped by that? Where you're like, God, I'd really love to do, but it's just weird. I think we kind of just gotta like make this. Or do you write stuff and you go, that's not really a thing I can use.
You know, my guilty pleasure. One of my guilty pleasures in music is Ragamuffin.
Mm-hmm.
Which is Jamaican rap.
Yes.
There's no way that anyone's going to see any sort of ragamuffin stuff from this corner, but I'd love to hear it.
Well,
I listen to it.
I think it's like the way you're putting it is true. You can think of it as, wow, there's this golden cage, this golden prison that we're in. That I can't really do what I want to do, but there's so many other things that we get to do.
Of course.
Yeah. No way we'd be doing without this gift. But yeah, you know, wanting to try to do something else, and then you realize that this is why we're here. I mean, really, at the end of the day, that is what happens, whether it's, you know, you want to, you know, Kirk's had... you've been doing festivals, like horror festivals,
nice.
You know, car shows I do and all things like that. We have our hobbies and those keep us happy outside of there. But I think the thing I'd like to do most that I haven't been able to in a long time is just go to a festival and hang out and watch bands and just sit on a blanket with my family or something and just like hang out with your buddies at a gig.
God,
that's hard to do.
That sounds so fun.
I mean, want to come?
Sign me up.
Bring the pizza sauce.
I will.
I want pizza all day. I feel like that would be fun for a bit and then you go, I gotta go to the bathroom. Ah, shit, the lines are really long. Ah, man, I can't get through. There's some guy just threw up on my feet. Like you, like all the stuff.
Oh, yeah, this sucks. I forgot. The stuff I did when I was 16. Yep.
My God. Because I've been to some festival. Bonnaroo has a comedy stage, and it was really fun to do. But there's, like, people basically, because it's in a field. I don't know if you've been to Bonnaroo before. You have. But, you know, it's in a field. And so there are these, like, tent villages. And you go, how do these people not die? It's in summer. They're drinking and doing drugs until like 5 o'clock in the morning. They pass out for a couple hours and the sun comes up. There's no ventilation. They're in these tents. They're in pizza socks, basically. I guess when you're young, it just doesn't matter. You can just power through that stuff.
Absolutely. Well, Pay for it later.
Yeah. I mean, you know, for a lot of those people, those are new experiences. So they're like, yeah, let's do this. Let's do it. Let's do more of it. And so, you know, they have the enthusiasm behind it. You know, when you've been doing that for like 15 years or so, over the course of time, the enthusiasm wanes a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, when I was younger, I would always see people that I liked. And as I started to get older, comedians or musicians or whatever, and they'd start to get a little, it's like, oh, this stuff isn't really the same anymore. Oh, they're not really touring as much. They're really doing this. Boy, that really sucks that they gave up. But then you start to get old and you're like, I really like to be comfortable. Comfortable feels good.
Yes.
And so I always wonder like what that balance is, because I think creativity a lot of times stems from being uncomfortable. You know, you're uncomfortable or there's something that you're – so you got to express that in some way. But when comfort feels so good and we gravitate toward comfort, how do you
– I got you. Yeah.
How do you kind of make sure that you balance between like being comfortable but also still being able to be creative?
I always feel uncomfortable, even right now.
I'm
feeling some discomfort myself.
Just a slight discomfort.
Unfortunately for me, there is always going to be some kind of discomfort.
Yeah.
It's not hemorrhoids or anything yet.
That's good.
It's just being in my own skin sometimes can be uncomfortable. Certain situations, you know.
No, Metallica's newest album is all about various salves and creams.
Yeah. Metalloroids. Yep. That's what we got now. Yeah. From being on stage too long. Headbanging forces your intestines out.
Ow.
Yeah,
ow,
yeah.
Ow.
No, I mean.
Don't push.
Yeah, uncomfortable is not a problem. I mean, being comfortable is the goal, and sometimes it's reached. But I agree that I struggle with that a lot, and people do question that. Can you be a comfortable artist, or do you have to be a starving or struggling artist, you know,
right,
to keep your creativity? But it depends on where it comes from, really.
Yeah.
You know? I also think that, you know, to a certain extent, you know, culture has programmed us to think that if you're not, you know, uncomfortable doing what you're doing, then what you're doing doesn't have any sort of worth or value. You know, you have to sweat hard for whatever you're doing, whatever it is, for it to be any good. You know, I think that's been grilled into people. Someone shows up and they do something just like amazingly great and amazingly easy, you know, people are like, ah, man, look at that guy. That guy sucks.
What a lazy ass.
Yeah,
but he got it done.
I could do that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like my kids. I'll be like flipping out like, where is this place? We're lost. Where's the thing? And they go, Dad, chill out. They push a button and, oh, we're right here. It's over there. It's like, oh,
we were right behind it.
Yeah. That's too easy.
We were right behind it the whole time.
You got to learn to struggle like me. Come on.
Yeah. I know. I that happens when I'm looking for something. They're like, I'm like, where is it? Where is it? It's right here, Dad. I'm like, ooh. And I feel like Fred Flintstone shrinking down to like, you know, 3 inches.
Now, do your kids understand and appreciate what it is that you do, or are they sort of? I would imagine they're your kids, so they're probably just unaffected by all of it.
My kids think that that guitar playing is boring, but they like the music, and they totally can appreciate, you know, the music. You know, Dad's band plays, but as a result, my kids, my oldest one, he plays piano and cello, and my younger one plays violin.
Mm-hmm.
They go to Waldorf school. That's why they play such exotic instruments.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Exotic.
You know, not guitar, bass, drums.
Cello? What is that called?
Where's that from?
That's crazy.
It's just like, you know, where's the plug? Where do you plug it in at?
Yeah.
I mean, I really wish I had had the discipline to learn an instrument, but it is, you always want to be on stage shredding. But no one really wants to, like, you got to do the scales.
Do the homework.
You got to do the homework. You got to do
I'm still like that. It's like, I want to play solos, but I don't want to do the work. Kirk, just
Me
do
too.
It. You're good.
I'm sitting there doing my scales, going, "Why am I doing this? This is so boring."
Do you still have
You're
to
doing
do that
it for me?
I have
Thank
to
you.
Do it. Yeah, of course, I have to. Yeah, I have to practice scales. You have to if you're going to be a guitar player. You have to. Well, you don't have to, but if you really want to be a certain type of guitar player, you practice your scales. Okay.
How many shows are you guys doing this year? This next year.
We're out. Well, we got stuff penciled in for the whole year. So, my body has told me to tell these guys that 50 shows a year is kind of what we can do.
Right.
So make the best of those.
Yeah.
And I think we all kind of agree in that. And, you know, I'm glad you said it, James, not me, but 50 shows a year, that's pretty good. My body can handle that. Body, mind, and spirit all need to kind of revitalize themselves at home and days off for voices, things like that. So 50 shows a year, and it goes pretty quick, I'm sure. But I tell people, well, we're only doing 50 a year, and they're saying, oh my God, that's a lot. It's like, it's not. It's not really compared to what we used to do.
Yeah, I mean, we would tour for 10 out of 12 months. In the past, we had crazy tours where we would tour, like, you know, 12, 15, 16 weeks in a row, you know, doing 5 shows a week.
Yeah.
And we
came home and we were divorced and we broke.
Yeah.
Girlfriends were gone and we were addicted to a few substances and, you know, we were fighting, but...
Living the dream.
But yeah, totally.
Yeah. Hey,
this is so glamorous. How glamorous is this? Yeah. Yeah, it's so glamorous.
Hey,
where's my stuff?
But you know,
in the driveway.
It's all a learning experience. We learned so much through all that.
I guess it is, but there, you know, nothing really beats the. You cannot replace anything with consistent touring to build your audience, because Rob Zombie was saying. He was like, yeah, we don't really get much radio play now, and we're playing bigger venues now than we ever played before. But it's just, I think it's, do you find that it just, as long as you kind of stay on that sort of track of hitting the right towns and the right time frames, like, consistently, that it just keeps, because then people start bringing their kids.
Yeah,
they start bringing
I mean, in the beginning, like, for the first, like, 10, 15 years of the band, we pretty much lived by that. By that process, you know.
Yeah, we would go and play where no one else would play. And that, you know, we're the working man's band. We'll go to the C, D, and E markets, you know. And people would be so appreciative, like, oh my God, no one ever plays Bald Knob, Arkansas.
Yeah, or Delaware.
Yes.
Yeah. No one goes to New Hampshire, but Metallica did.
Right. And that says a lot.
Yeah.
That says a lot. Even on promo tours, you know, going, showing up, you know, it shows your integrity, and it shows that, you know, and nothing, well, I say that now, but who knows, there's probably new goggles that show up, but nothing is better than going to see a live show. You can listen to it, you can podcast it, you can do all that stuff, but actually being there, and your senses get, like, slammed, and it's not just the music. It's not just the band. It's the atmosphere. It's the people next to you. It's that guy throwing up on your shoes.
It's the complete experience.
Exactly.
It's everything. It's driving to the show, driving back. You know, it's like you said when after you saw a Star Wars movie the other night, you know, after the movie, there was like a feeling of, like, you know, excitement when it ended.
Yeah.
You know? Same thing with rock shows. When the band comes off, there's that moment of, like, it ended. Wasn't that the best thing, or wasn't that, you know, the greatest thing you've ever seen, or wow, they played this and they played that. I mean, it's all part of the experience, and you just don't get that when you're clicking a button or staring at a screen.
Yeah, and I think even you probably can. Do you think you'll just tour as long as, like, for, because, you know, because a lot of people sort of snickered when they did the, it was like McCartney and those guys did the show in the desert. Like, oh, is this old cello? And people went, they're like, no, it was actually really fucking good.
Yep.
Yeah, it was really
fucking
good.
Oh, really
good.
Really fucking
good. Yeah. Did you go?
Well, I hope it's around in 20 years and we can play it.
Yeah, you got tons of time still.
I hope so. You know, people ask us that question, and I can either be offended by it, like, what do you mean? Am I old? Yes, you're old. Okay. But we're going to go until it doesn't feel fun. I mean, as simple as that.
Yeah.
You know, we've got plenty of mentors out there that have done it, and we can, you know, people mention the Stones, and That's kind of the go-to, but they're not as athletic as we are. I know that. But so like an AC/DC, like an Angus Young. I see that guy, or, you know, Lemmy was out there playing to his last moments. Would we do that? Can we do that? Will we? Who knows? Who knows? But there are mentors we can talk to about, hey, how's it feel?
You still have decades before that point, too, where you, I think you would really have to.
Yeah, the choice is ours.
Yeah.
The choice is ours. And, you know, that that decision will be made basically on, you know, how our bodies are going to be holding up. And like, as James says, you know, whether it still means the same thing to us, because it might not mean the same thing to us if we're all in pain the entire time.
Right.
You know, then it becomes something completely different. I mean, you know, we get this question asked a lot, and we, you know, I try to answer it as best as I can. But the really the bottom line is we just got to see how things play out, you know.
And you really do. You the older you get, the more you have to, the more work you have to do to just feel okay. The more it's like, oh, and I didn't used to have to stretch just so I could, you know, so you don't, you know, go to open your car and like, ah, fuck, what was that? God damn it, you know.
Yeah. It's
like,
where's that hemorrhoid cream? Come on. Metalloroid. Yeah. Sorry.
Where's Metalloroid?
One of the worst times I ever threw out my back was when I was going down the stairs and I sneezed. And something happened, and like by the time I got to the bottom of the stairs, I could barely walk. And it took me by surprise. It's like, you know, I woke up, I was having a perfectly good day, you know, felt good, had, you know, a whole, like, you know, idea of what I was going to do that day. I was going down the stairs, and then I sneezed, and like for the next 2 weeks, I was in pain.
That was it.
Yeah.
So the doctor said, stop sneezing.
Stop sneezing. Or stay away from stairs.
Get the elevator.
Don't do that. Yeah, get an elevator. Get a rascal. Yeah.
Just bring an rascal. Elevator.
Yeah.
What?
There you go, the rascal.
Just a rascal. You can still do a solo in a rascal. You can
What's a rascal?
That's one of those little carts that people...
Oh, you mean a lark.
Is that what that is?
That too.
Well, I call them larks.
Or what's the one on the stairs that goes...
Yeah.
You play guitars, you go down. Yeah. Got a little hemorrhoid cream built into it.
Exactly.
You got the pizza sock. Yeah. Pizza sock next to it. Dude.
I'm just gonna design a guitar with a whole pharmacy built into it.
It's a great idea.
For anything I need, that I might need.
You squeeze the neck and it gives you your blood pressure.
It's just like, you know, I have a little Geritol stash by my pickup knob, you know.
Yeah. Your pick just pricks the end of your finger just to make sure your glucose levels are all good.
If I push down on the neck, you know, a tube with the Roy cream comes out.
Yep.
You know?
Okay. Empty your bag.
Yeah, my exactly. Empty my bag. Oh.
Is Kirk playing accordion now? No, that's he's just.
Hey, what's that smell?
He's emptying the bag. Is he playing the bagpipes? No, he's not playing the bagpipes.
Just the bag.
I can just see it. Yeah. Metallica on stage in their 80s, and my guitar does my dialysis.
Just the whole thing. Yeah.
I plug in to my guitar two times. Once for my amp and once for my kidneys.
I honestly think that people still would be fine with that. Like, it still sounds good. I mean, I don't care. Whatever you got to do.
Yeah, whatever.
Lots of ideas out there, people. Go. All right. Shark Tank. Yeah. Here we go.
I just see Kirk go on Shark Tank. Yeah. All right. You didn't like the pizza sock? Well, how about this? Yeah. The dialysis guitar.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Feels like a limited market.
The Dialicaster.
Dialicaster.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Great. There you go.
James, you're really good at naming things. All right. We have Metalloroids. Yeah. We have the Dialicaster.
Well, it's kind of a game, you know, coming up with funny names.
Yeah. Is this when you're on the road, how do you sort of keep occupied? Do you do anything during the day? It's like, oh, we should go see stuff during the day, or do you just focus on
comedy?
I'm gonna go see stuff. I think you go, let's go to the museum.
If the kids are out and we're in some new cool place like China or, you know, like St. Petersburg, Russia or something, and the family is there, we're gonna do stuff. We're gonna go out and experience the culture, and but, you know, the family's not, you know, flying to LA here to hang out, really,
right,
or Cleveland or some other place that they've been a few hundred times. But you got to find new stuff. You got to find new stuff to do. And what I like to do, I just like walking, get lost in the city, just walk around and, you know, get outside. But it depends on the city. You can really tell how good the gig's going to be by the amount of insane people out in front of your hotel, you know, or at the airport when you land. It's like, oh my God, this sucks, but it's great.
Yeah.
You know?
And we're talking about places like, you know, Europe, you know, South America, Asia, where
Mexico
they tip.
City.
Yeah, South where America, they, where you're in Metallica.
Well, where you know, typically Metallica. They tweet us like, you know, we're the Beatles or something. I mean, there's like people like, at the airports, you know, waiting for the plane to land. As soon as we get out of the plane, you know, people are screaming. I mean, go to the hotel. There's a whole crowd out in front of the hotel.
Well, that's not surprising. I mean, you guys are in Metallica. I mean, it is one of the biggest bands in the world.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, you don't really see it to that extent in the States, you know?
Oh, I get
it. It's other places that people, like, get rabid about us.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah, it's crazy.
What? So this in the States, are they? It's just not as
they don't like, give up. They don't give up.
Well, let me tell you, we haven't toured the States in a while. We've done one-offs here and there, but we'll see how it is. And we're super excited to tour the States again. Yeah. We have not done a proper U.S. tour in a long, long time.
Yeah,
well,
it's
since Death Magnetic,
at least five or six years.
Oh, yeah, wow,
easily. Yeah.
So when is the new tour start for Hardwired?
Next year.
Next year.
January.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Kicking off, I think it's China first.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Korea, China.
China, Beijing, I think,
Copenhagen.
Or Shanghai, something like
Who
that.
Who booked that?
What?
No, really. China to Copenhagen?
Friday you're in Beijing, and then Saturday.
Copenhagen.
That's a long swim, dude. What?
What's the connection there?
Yeah, right.
Do you find that?
I think Lars booked it.
Do you find
the tour? Yeah. Copenhagen. We're basing in Copenhagen.
Mm, interesting.
In and out of Abu Dhabi, you know, easy. You know?
Yeah. We're basing in Copenhagen, but we're playing Shanghai.
Yeah, I think sometimes when you're there's what looks like it makes sense on the calendar. Okay, yeah, that's an 8-hour flight. Probably make it there and over. And then there's the human cost of that. Like, why did we agree to?
Yeah.
It looked like it made so much sense on the calendar.
And I'll tell you, the crew look at you like, you dicks.
Yeah.
You know, what? We're not flying. You know, sometimes they're flying. But yeah, we got to get gear from here to here. Or, yeah.
Yeah.
There's someone else that does that job, thank God.
Yeah.
A lot of times.
The tours.
Yeah. A lot of times I'll show up at the gig and I'll see my guitar tech and I go, how's it going? He goes, well, we had a 3 o'clock loadout and a 5 o'clock plane flight. 5 a.m.
Oh,
so,
Jesus.
You know,
7 a.m. lobby call.
Yeah. And so, you know, he'll give me a whole rundown and then afterwards he'll go, but I'm fine.
Oh, my God. Those guys
here's your guitar out of tune.
Yeah.
This had strings on it before? What?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't give a shit. I'm tired.
You need all six tonight? Come on.
Come on, man. I slept for 2 hours.
Yeah, the Dialocaster. Yeah. Come on.
I got to hand it to you, though. You know, our road crew, our backline guys, I mean, they sacrifice so much rest, so much sleep, just so that they can get the show going.
They kick ass.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, and I really don't, you know, those guys in all black that just sort of run in and out, you know, and get everything. They never get the credit that they deserve. It is to set up a fucking massive show in each town and have everything be the same and be the same experience. That's an incredible feat.
Under a deadline.
Under a deadline, yeah. under different conditions because every house is different. There are rules, you know,
Power's different. You know, the energy, electricity is different.
Oh, you remove that cable over here? Well, that's $1,000.
Yeah. What?
Or ask those guys, oh, we're going to this gig. And they, oh, God, I remember that load in. You know, they don't have an elevator or, you know, something. You have to go down these
Or the local crew doesn't listen or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
They just know.
How do you get your? I'm interested to know. I want to understand about child rearing in this day and age, as I embark on potentially having kids soon.
Interestingly put,
I'm pregnant.
Yay!
I'm not pregnant, but how do you get them to not look at their, I guess you probably have the same problem at your shows too sometimes where people are like, paying attention to filming or they're tweeting, I'm at a Metallica. Like, how do you force them to experience anything when, you know, it's so easy for them to just have their faces down?
Well, again, you know, my kids go to Waldorf school, and part of the whole Waldorf thing is no screens during the week.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, yeah, so they're pretty used to the mom and dad saying, no screens, and then they put it away.
All right.
Or do what they have to do. But, you know, my wife and I are all about full-on real experiences, you know, in the moment.
Yeah, that's good. What about you?
My kids are all screens all the time. They go to a school where their homework is on the screen. So
Jesus.
If we don't look at it, they can get away with stuff. So, you know, we're supposed to – parents are supposed to go onto a site and check out. You know, everything's there.
Yeah.
Here's their grades. Here, they turned in his homework at 11:05, you know, and it's graded here, and it's all there,
shit,
which is really convenient. And there's – complete accountability and no wiggle room, but I don't want to be on a screen either. You know, I don't want to sit there and, I mean, we just moved and we're in a home that didn't have Wi-Fi and they're like, Dad, oh my God, I got my homework. I'm studying for finals. Like, you know, go to the Starbucks, man. You know, you gotta have Wi-Fi to do your homework. It's kind of sad, but I wouldn't worry so much about it. I mean, at the gigs, it is somewhat frustrating when you look out and you're like, da, 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 and everyone's got the screen. I mean, and it's all the same. It's kind of robotic army looking.
Right.
You know, it's everyone's looking through their screen at you, you know, or they're, you know, it's really bad when someone's got their iPad. Like, wait a minute, I can't even see.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
But what are you going to do? You know, we can't enforce anything.
Sure.
You know, don't bring your this and that. And you're coming to a concert. You're going to celebrate it however you want.
Yeah.
If you want to remember you in that moment, that's great. You singing better than me into your phone and playing it later for someone who doesn't give a shit, maybe. But or there's 500, you know, YouTube things from the same angle. You know,
right?
We got no control over that. You enjoy it how you want to enjoy it. I just wonder if later on you'd be thinking, damn, yeah, I have it memorized on here, but I didn't feel it.
Right.
I didn't feel it completely. So
right,
it's up to them.
Do you play when you do those 50 shows next year? Is the playlist relatively the same as there, or do you kind of like mix it up each show? And go, I kind of feel like playing this.
We change it up every show. We change the set list up every show, make it interesting for us as well as the audience.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you have
like one night all of Rain and Blood,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
or Anthrax's first album, you know,
yeah,
stuff like that.
Just to mix not it one up. Metallica
mix it
song,
a bit.
Yeah, not one Metallica. Song.
We'll cover a Metallica song
yeah,
in there, you know. Yeah. Just give them a little credit, whatever.
Just come on, we'll throw some in there to make them happy.
I tell you, we have a lot of songs now.
Of course,
so
you do.
It's a great, you know, gold-plated problem to have. What songs are you going to play? What songs work best here or there? Or, you know, Lars has his own method of last time we played Hit the Lights here was in, you know, 1997 yeah, on the Blah Blah Tour. Oh, okay. Do you think anyone remembers that but you and your computer? But he's very into that. He doesn't want to rehash and rehash. And so we've got a lot of good songs on this record, too. We'll be trying all those out live. And, you know, hopefully we get doubles or multiples in cities.
Sure.
And that's even easier to come up with a different set list, you know. If
right, which is great.
Seeing multiple
so
shows.
Exactly, if people yeah, want to come to see
and
multiple
people
shows.
People do travel. Our fans are crazy enough to stalk us around the country or even to different continents,
yeah,
which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we're still kind of discovering new combinations too of, you know, what combinations of songs work amazingly well, and you know, it's interesting that we're still like discovering new stuff with our set list too. We played a show in London, and we played the first three songs were a combination that we never did before, and when we played them after the show, we thought, wow, that was really effective and really cool, because we'd never played those three songs in that way at the top of the set.
Yeah, that's nice to still be able to discover new. I think that's probably really the key, and that's probably why you would continue to do it. I mean, besides the, you know, keeping the business going, but just that finding those moments, because the new moments get rarer and rarer. It's like, how can you continue to be surprised, or how can you continue to surprise yourselves?
So, and the writing of new songs is certainly part of that. You know, you don't know what songs are going to work live when you go out there, so you're extra enthused about playing them. And okay, do I incite the crowd to do something in this part, or are they going to do it? Do they just let them learn it, or what are they going to do here?
You know,
you can think about it as much as you want in the studio. Like, okay, here's the song, or here's the part where they go, hey, you know, and then you get out there and they don't, you know,
right.
So you can't, you know, you can't pre-think what's going to happen live. It just happens.
Yeah. But I think that's also what makes a live show experience special, and seeing a band or a performer who knows how to, you know, deliver somewhat what people expect, but also be able to improvise and make everything a little bit different and a little bit special.
Well, I mean, you really have to have that element in your show, all right? You know, it's just like, if you just go out there and just play the album, everyone knows you're just going to go out there and play the album.
Right. Well, and I think people can also feel if you're into it or not into it, or if it's not, if doesn't really, you know, they can feel that.
Oh, there's no doubt. If it doesn't, they feel the honesty or not. Mm-hmm. And I will say, though, the shows, the older we get, the more unique the shows get, because someone forgets something or brain farts on, what is this song? I mean, just the other day, the intro to One played, and I went out and I started Fade to Black, and everyone looked at me, and I got that feeling of like complete shame, like, you bad boy. And
I was going to play,
like, oh my God,
I was going to play the One solo over that part, because it would work. It would totally work.
I think if you had just committed to it and been like, yeah, the people were like, oh my God, what a mashup.
Yeah. He's a man. He changed it. He just did it.
I think some of the best things can be mistakes.
Oh,
some
absolutely.
Of the absolute
happy accidents.
Happy
man.
Accidents.
Love them.
Those
love
are
happy
evolution.
Accidents.
That's how people evolved. Was just happy accidents.
That's how
of
I was
nature.
Born.
Yeah, exactly.
Me too. I was a martini accident.
All right. That was sort of an oops hooray.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oops hooray.
Yay, hey, we love you. Oh,
yeah. Ish. I guess
we love you, ish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh my God,
we're supposed to
love you.
Oh, it's the best. Oh, come on. Are there any places that you're particularly excited about hitting this next year?
You know, it always is kind of interesting for me to go into Asia, because Asia is just such a different part of the world,
obviously. It is very Asian.
Yeah, but
that's
just
what you can say about Asia. It's very
Asian.
It's
just like, you know, on stage, off stage, there's just like just so many trippy things, and you know how they do things, you know, their culture. And so it's always interesting for me when we go to Asia and play shows. I mean, we don't know what to expect.
Well, yeah, and then because every show, every time you're on stage, you're forming a relationship with that immediate audience. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine when you're playing to that many different cultures, people do have cultures have different ways that they respond or different ways that they react. So, has that ever thrown you off, or do you kind of just let them come to you?
One thing that I've kind of noticed, you know, after going there two or three times, is every time we go there, it's different. You know, they're a little bit more receptive, or they've, you know, progressed a little bit more in terms of like watching us. Mm-hmm. You know, the reactions are a little bit more than it had been the previous time.
Yeah,
I mean, it almost feels like, you know, we go there, we school them, and then we come back and we're like, hey, look what we learned. We'll show you on this show.
We've practiced being fans.
Exactly.
While you've been away.
But that's how it feels. Every time
check
we go
out this
there,
headbanging move.
It's a little bit different, and it's a little bit more open.
Crash.
And it's a little better, you know? So maybe by the time our 10th visit there, it'll be full on chaos.
Mm. That's pretty cool though. I mean, because I would imagine it can be a little disconnecting sometimes if you're here and then there's, you know, a sea in between you and 30,000 people or whatever it is.
Right.
And because you know the dynamic of playing a room of 100 people or 200 people is different. So how do you keep the intimacy, you know, right. when there's that, you know, when you know there's people that are like two city blocks away from the stage?
Well, you do your best. I mean, we are performers. We played live, you know, since day one. We've toured, you know, ourselves a lot. We've been road dogs and very, very, very into it. And when you get good at performing, you know what to do. You just kind of know, okay, the crowd's farther away. You know, our goal is to make everyone feel as close as possible to us. So whether it takes big screens or or some kind of snake pit that we've come up with or something like that. But I agree, at the festivals, it's harder and harder to feel intimate. Obviously, it's a festival, but
right.
there's a barricade, you know, gosh, 50 yards away, you know, and there are people because they got the cameras and this and that. It's all about a TV show now sure. instead or sure. something. And but you deal with it. You deal with it and you do your best. And I do have to say, though, I think Kirk really likes playing Asia because – especially in Japan, they say, "Hey, cock, cock."
It's true. In all over Asia, I'm not Kirk Hammett. I'm Cock Hammett.
You're Cock Hammer.
Where is cock?
What's cock? What's
we
cock?
Want cock.
I want cock.
I'm here with cock, speaking to cock.
Oh, it's I want
hilarious.
To see cock. Where?
It's so
where's
hilarious.
Cock? Sorry, that's really maybe, bad, but maybe, it's maybe, funny.
It's so funny. I'm just thinking maybe I should just change my name.
You could change the pizza sock to the cock sock.
Oh,
there you go.
Guys, come on. Cock's pizza
Cox
sock.
Pizza sock.
The cock sock.
The cock
pizza.
Cock sock. No, there's already
and
a cock sock.
You can use it for pizza.
If you want.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you could use it for pizza.
Multifunctional.
Pizza first. Time. Something else second.
I really yeah. feel like this pizza sock is so dumb. It's a great idea. I really do think there's something. So, like, you get a pizza, but you're not going to be able to eat it right away.
So you put it in the sock.
You put it in the sock. And then yeah. guess what? You still have fresh hot pizza.
Yeah.
I mean...
And you can put like little designs on the sock, and like you can make it look like a smiley sun,
yes,
or something,
yes,
or you know, let's see, you can make it look like a pancake.
You're already you've
manhole
already
cover.
Come up with great
yeah.
ideas.
Manhole cover, yeah, perfect.
Sewer pizza,
you know, yes. Captain America's
Ninja Turtles?
Shield,
Ninja Turtles. Yeah. yeah, I mean, this is a great
giant frisbee.
You've just come up with like eight really great ideas for this thing that needs to exist.
All or you put it over your spare tire on the back.
Yes,
you know? And it's a
perfect.
Pizza holder. There
perfect.
You go.
Yeah, whenever you need it, you can just peel it off the back of your spare tire and. Put it on yeah. your pizza.
Protects your tire and your pizza. Yeah.
I'm telling you, this is a great idea. And I'm sure for anyone, you know, if George Foreman had any reservations at first, like, oh, people are going to make fun. You know, he probably made like $500 million off yeah. that fucking grill.
Yeah, I heard it was extremely successful.
It's insanely. Awesome. Yeah. I have one. Yeah. They're great.
Yeah. I have to say I had one.
There's one yeah. at the studio, I think. Yeah,
yeah
there
mean,
is one. Yeah.
Yeah, Greg Fiddleman, he's the chicken guy. He's all he eats is chicken. He's all about the Foreman grill.
They, yep. they work really great.
Yeah.
It just grills it to perfection in 8 minutes. Your chicken is done. It
brought
just,
to you by.
It cleans up real nice, real easy. I mean, do you ever, it's just kind of going back to that idea of, you know, between art and commerce, is it, you know, what do you feel is, are there boundaries? Does it feel like, well, you know, this is a job. We should get paid for it, but we shouldn't. You know, do you feel weird about making too much money or not enough money? Like, what are those lines for you between what's the art of it and like what's the business of it?
That's pretty interesting. Yeah, it's not something we really think a lot about. It's
well, that's
kind of natural. You know, we have always invested back into Metallica, and that's how you grow. And we've always done that, whether it's. You know, sink your money into a movie that you think is going to be great, and maybe it. You know, we've taken lots of risks with our Metallica bank account, and you know, Orion Festival. There's been quite a few things that haven't panned out, but we've tried. And you're an artist. Why would you not do that? Why would you not try to do things that you'd want to see as a fan?
Right.
I think that's awesome. Is it financially responsible? No, not at all. But it's cool, and it looks great, and we've done it. And we certainly live comfortably enough. Our families do. But the fact that we can invest into Metallica and make new things happen, be first at things, we're explorers.
Yeah. I think it's riskier to not take risks. Like, totally. you need to continue, especially exactly. If you do anything for any length of time, you can't just do the same thing every time.
Well, you know, I think, you know, there's a little bit of creative restlessness in all of us. I mean, we're just, if we occupy a place too long, we just kind of like start getting restless and start looking around and looking for like other places to take it, you know? I mean, I'm always looking for just new, unique, original ways to do things, you know, just all the time, because, you know, that's the way I think. It's been grilled into me ever since the beginning to like just do things differently. You know, the world doesn't need another carbon copy of this.
Yeah,
the world really needs something, a different take on everything, really. I mean, when you think about it, that's what the life of an artist is. It's just like looking for what's around and seeing how you can reinterpret it and make it different and unique and original again, you know, for other people to experience. I mean, that's what a creative artist does.
But when you are such a driving force behind a genre of something, and then you inspire a couple generations of people to make their own stuff, and it's like they're innovating on what they've been influenced by from you. Does that kind of come back around? You're like, shit, now we have to innovate because all these people that kind of copied but then found their own version of what we're doing, now we have to stay ahead of all
that. And that's what you want. You know, you want that feedback loop to keep you, you know, just present and aware of what's going on. Because, I mean, you benefit from that when I believe you benefit from that when someone comes out of nowhere and does something super cool, inspired by us, but, you know, taken somewhere else. I mean, I love that, and it inspires me to, like, look at that and take what they did maybe somewhere completely different.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a feedback loop. It feeds on itself.
Yeah, there's a lot of better versions of Nothing Else Matters than ours.
Totally.
Simple as that. Yeah. Like, okay, the piano version, the Gregorian chant version, the
acapella version.
Yeah, the cello, the Celtic cello version. Mm. There's tons of versions of that or Sandman. So cool. Yeah, Macy Gray. Lots of different cool versions
of
it. And your
children's instrument version of Sandman, which is now the definitive version of Sandman.
By far the best, yes. But it's really cool to hear. I mean, that's an honor, I would say. That is a huge compliment where someone takes your song and legitimately does it in their style.
Mm-hmm.
Orchestral or choral or, you know, Gregorian, like we were saying. It's really cool to think that the song is that good where it can work in any kind of different genre.
And also interesting to see, because, you know, everyone kind of has it's just an emotional expression of something, and seeing like, oh, they saw these things in here that we didn't necessarily see.
Yeah.
And they brought this idea to it. And it's, you know, it's just like a conversation.
Yeah. The melody that we thought wasn't so great, they brought it out and they made it really good. Or they've highlighted things that went into their ear. You know, they needed that, and that's how they hear it.
Yeah.
And they put it out their way. Yeah. It's digested by them.
Yeah, or you know, someone like changes the entire arrangement of the song, and then you listen to it back and go, wow, that's incredible. Never would have thought of doing that ourselves.
So they've digested it and shit it out their own way, and now they have metalloroids.
Yeah, they have metalloroids. Yeah, exactly. But these are good roids. These are the good roids that you want to have.
We're spreading good roids.
Are you guys, I assume you're taking just a little bit of time off for the holidays, maybe?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
We got like 2 or 3 weeks.
Are you still in Hawaii?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aww.
Aww, that's nuts. What a So it's a white sandy Christmas, basically.
You know, get a surf
it's Santa Claus on a surfboard, you know.
Nice.
Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'll see Santa Claus in a hula skirt, which always cracks me up.
Yeah. What about you? What are you doing for the holidays?
No hula skirts. I live in Vail now.
Oh,
so
nice.
So we're Colorado. And
that doesn't suck either.
It does not suck.
Wow.
Spending the holidays there, and then also back in California with my family.
That's really nice. When does this go up,
extended
Katie?
Family.
This goes out first week of January.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, great. I'm
How was Christmas? It was awesome.
It was great.
Best
was great
Christmas
time.
Ever. Oh, remember that thing that happened?
My in-laws were so great.
Not one argument.
Yeah.
Everything was so
wonderful.
Everyone was on point, yeah. No, I got married in August, and my wife and I are just going away. Like, she goes, I'd love to see snow. And I'm like, well, let's go to Wyoming. So we're just going to go to Wyoming for like a week.
There you
the
go,
least
man.
Populated state.
It is the least populated state. Yep. Really?
I thought it was Montana.
No.
I would have put it at North Dakota or Montana as well.
I thought so, too. The Dakotas, but no.
But it's Wyoming.
Yeah.
It's nice. Anything for the new year? Any resolutions for the new year? Or anything you're excited about this year besides the tour or anything? Do you, at the end of each year, kind of take stock and go, here's what I'm going to change? Are you tied to the calendar like the rest of the culture?
I'm excited for a new season of Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, it'll be good. Yeah, that's what I'm really excited about.
I mean, it is.
What can I say? It's a really great show.
Did you watch Westworld?
No, but I'm really familiar with the original movie with Yul Brynner. And that movie, if you've not seen the original movie, you must see
it.
It's great.
That freaks me out as a kid.
Yeah,
yeah, it's great. You know,
it's a
the
machine.
Scene, when he takes it, Yul Brynner takes his face off and it's a robot. I mean, that's a brilliant scene.
I would say I would give it a shot. Especially if
I intend on it.
Because I know you like horror sci-fi.
Yeah, I intend on it.
Yeah, it's really
what I
really
do
good.
Is I just I hear about all these shows and I just wait and I just watch the last episode. That's all I do. That's what I've done. I never saw Blacklist. I never saw. Yeah. Gosh, what was the other one I just looked at?
We didn't have
cable. Yeah. We just moved into our house and then, but on DirecTV or somewhere there were shows that the previous owners had saved.
Oh,
and they were all like the last episodes of certain shows. So I just watched them all. It's like, wow, that was awesome.
Wow, I
saw the series.
Hey.
So you can actually say that you've seen every last episode of all those shows.
Every last episode of every show.
Spoiler alert, that's me.
That's not bad. That's not bad. Yeah, I think spoiler alert with James Hetfield is a really great idea.
Yeah. Why watch the whole series?
Yeah, exactly.
The last
there you
one.
Go. I think Kevin Smith might have done that, actually.
Your show is only like 3 minutes.
There you go.
This guy dies. Boom. That is that thing.
Yeah, exactly.
That dude's a robot.
Exactly.
Everyone dies and the zombies take over.
Thanks for watching.
Thank you.
Thanks for watching.
And the world blows up.
Brought to you by Kurt Hammett's pizza stockings.
And Metalloroids.
And Metalloroids. No, he gets the rival, just to fuck with you. He gets the rival pizza stocking.
Hey.
This is a market. This is a whole market, I feel like.
All right.
It is a problem.
Right,
well, I have to say, you know, that I just like the those two words together, pizza sock. It just has a great ring to it. What can I say, you know?
Nothing, you know, there's nothing more valuable, I think, than just a catchy thing. And then, you know, if there's substance behind that, great.
Yeah.
But
I agree.
That's secondary,
yeah.
Quality, secondary.
Secondary. Yeah. Catchy first.
Functionality.
Quality second.
Oh, fuck it. With that.
Yeah. Does this pizza sock? I don't give a shit. It's called a pizza sock. Who cares?
Yeah.
Come on, buy it.
I can tell everyone we have one. So you cut to next year, you on QVC.
Yeah.
Nah,
yeah.
Not a bad
there,
idea.
There I am. And
you get the Red Hot Chili Peppers to market it.
Yeah.
Pizza sock.
Yeah. Then 5 years from now, 5 years from now, I'm like in rehab and like I look like 20 years older and I'm like going, it's all because of that damn pizza sock.
The pizza sock ruined everything.
Yeah. 800 pounds. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Turning out having the freshest, warmest pizza at all time was the worst idea ever.
It ruined me.
My cholesterol. I had to get open heart surgery. Yeah. This is the worst.
Yes.
I'm a machine now. Yes. It's come true.
It's basically you get...
I'm Westworld.
You get sued.
I'm run by Domino's.
You get sued by like Raven Johnson in The Jerk, where it's like everyone ends up cross-eyed. Like
yeah,
you
exactly.
Up, yeah, everyone ends up
the opti-grab.
The opti-grab. Opti-grab.
This movie, happened.
Movie yes. still holds up. Movie still holds up.
It's great.
The
yeah.
Jerk.
Yeah.
What are your top, just before we kind of wrap this down, what are your top, like, couple of favorite comedies? What are your top?
Well, you know, The Jerk is absolutely one of them.
Yeah.
I like Cabin Boy.
Cabin Boy, yep. yep.
Yeah. And, yeah, you know, Cabin Boy has epic scenes in it.
It does.
Especially with the big blueberry muffin.
Yep.
Out in the ocean.
Yep.
Yeah.
Never go full retard.
Tropic Thunder.
Dude, I love that. That's the new bus movie, even though we're not on a bus.
Yeah.
Okay?
Oh, and another one, Black Dynamite.
Black Dynamite's incredible.
Incredible film, yeah.
Incredible. I saw that movie like five years ago, 6 years ago. Loved it so much that when we talked about it on the podcast, the director commented on the thread, Scott Sanders, and so we had him on as a guest.
Nice. I love that movie.
We did a screening at Meltdown Comics of Black Dynamite and had him and the cast on. And it was great. And we were an inch away from my company, Nerdist, was trying to produce a sequel to Black Dynamite. And we just
Please.
Couldn't make it happen.
You know, that the last Sacha Cohen movie, The Brothers.
Oh, Grimsby.
That movie is so amazingly funny. I know it didn't get the greatest reviews, but right. My Lord. Go and see. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it.
Oh my God! There's one scene in there. I was crying. I almost fell into the airplane aisle. I was doubled over in laughter because I was watching it on a plane. And then another scene came. I had to huddle around the screen because I didn't want to offend all the people sitting around me. But it was so funny. Again, I was like, tears were coming out of my eyes because it was so funny. So check that one out.
All right,
it's a good one.
All right, I will take that as a recommendation. Yes. We'll watch Brothers Grimsby. I think it was available to on VOD almost immediately. So
yeah,
we'll,
I like the uncomfortable comedies, like Gentleman Bronco. Have you seen something like that? Or yeah, things
Gentleman
like that
Bronco,
are really just so awkward and so disconnected. You know that they're so unrealistic that they're funny.
Yeah,
you know. But
well,
they
that's
are
what
realistic.
Brothers Grimsby is. It's so unrealistic. It's
you get a lot of that in the British comedies. In the British comedies, you get a lot of that. That sort of weird, like, ooh, that's like the cringe, like, oh,
hi. You know, yeah, just, yeah. Those lines from those movies are brought up around our house. You know, hard to beat. For me, those just goofy comedies, Airplanes, you know, the stuff like that. Or the one that's forever been with us is the Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
That one is... That was the original bus movie for us.
Yeah.
Pretty funny.
What I should send to you, because, you know, I'm sure this. I'm not going to get sued for this by Viacom, but I ripped all of the original Police Squads. There were six episodes
awesome.
Of the original Police Squad.
Loved it.
And I ripped them all, so I'll send those to you if you want them. But they're fucking, they hold up. It's just the crazy, there's a joke in there where they... These are always impossible to explain, but he's following a lead, and I can't track the most jokes you can track. You go, okay, I see how they got from A to B. All of a sudden, he goes, so I decided to go to one of those all-night wicker stores, and they pull up to this store, and it's a 24-hour wicker store, and scores of people are walking out with wicker. It's the fucking stupid. It's like, how did they, why? How did they get to that? I can't
Let's
track
go
it.
Here.
I love stuff like that.
I can't track
where,
it.
It's just like so left field. You go, what type of mind created that?
But I love the fact that someone did it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Someone just thought of something. And maybe it was like spur of the moment. That's why I like, you know, a lot of those Will Ferrell movies where it just, you think they're just having fun. Or
yeah.
even like the old, yeah. like, you know, Smokey and the Bandit, stuff like
yep.
that, where you think just, you know, Burt Reynolds, they're just having a blast.
Right.
And there's some guys filming it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It comes across.
That.
It totally comes across on screen that they're just having a good time. And a lot of it is improvisational. Comedy because they're just having a good time joking
yeah.
around with their friends.
Yeah, Smokey and the Bandit was fucking great.
You know what's a really, really great show that I just discovered is Archer.
Oh, yeah, Archer's fantastic.
It's really, really funny.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and that guy, Archer, says all the things that you want to say.
You can get away with a lot in animation.
Yeah.
You can get away with a lot. If any live action show said what, like if they wrote stuff that Archer or South Park or any other set.
They'd get in trouble.
Get in trouble. Yeah, like none of those people would work again.
Yeah.
If the show
exactly.
would be canceled.
Blackballed throughout all of Hollywood. Yeah.
Completely. But it's
nice. Animation,
Yeah.
No one's accountable.
No one's accountable.
Family Guy, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Hilarious.
No, it's cartoons. Yeah, it's not real. It's not real. But the new album, Hardwired Self-Destruct, is available now everywhere.
Yeah.
And you should pick it up. And then Metallica is going to tour next year at the States, which they haven't done for quite a while.
Very excited for that. You asked earlier about what you're excited about and, you know, going to the places we haven't been in a long time. That's certainly, you know, the States. We're excited about that.
Well, fantastic. You came on, we were at Comic-Con the last time you came on the podcast, you guys, and now I was delighted to know that you guys wanted to come back on, because you're not, it's just fun to, I don't know, I feel like I would, if you want to take me on tour at any point to just hang out and make dick jokes all day long, I'm happy to do that. I'm happy to do
you
that
fit
with
right
you guys.
In. Yeah, for sure.
I feel like...
West Cock! Yeah, Metalloroids. You could be, you know, there's a lot of material here.
Yeah.
You just open up the show, warm up the crowd. Yeah, why not?
You know, I really feel like a metal crowd would love a dorky comedian coming out and just jokes.
We have had comedians open for us in the past.
How does that go? That can't go well.
Well, you know, Bonnaroo. We had... was it Chris Rock? Came out?
Introduced us.
Yeah.
That would...
Well... there's been a few. There's been a few. Jim Brewer, for sure, has come and done a lot of stuff with us. Yeah. So, come on.
I feel like it's hard to do comedy opening for a band because
it would be tough.
People just... They really just want the band. And they may not necessarily go, oh, well, the band wasn't going to come out now anyway. There was going to be some type of an opening act. They just think, you are the thing that is keeping us in between.
Exactly. As soon as you get off, Metallica goes on. Why are you still talking?
You are the barrier.
Yeah.
You are the barrier to us having a complete good time.
Yeah.
I didn't ask for you. You're like that U2 album they put on my iPhone that I didn't ask for.
Well, what we'll have to do maybe is just put a clock countdown before you go out. And then...
Oh, that's
okay,
a great idea.
We know in 10 minutes they're coming out.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. Is everyone having a good time? That would actually work.
Seven.
if you actually acknowledge that, you know, I know that you guys don't really want me here on stage, but here I am. But hey, there's a timer.
The reason,
or just you open with 10 minutes of Metallica. Are you ready? Yeah, okay, and then go off.
In the '90s, I worked at K Rock, and so what you had to do if you were a DJ is that like once a month you had to introduce a band somewhere, like K Rock Presents, whatever. I introduced Social Distortion at the Palace at that time, but they were late. They were already a half hour late, and then I had to come out and tell everyone that they were going to be later. And I worked at K-Rock.
Thanks for that.
And I worked at MTV, two things that audience was not super keen on because they were corporate. And so here comes this dorky white guy in his 20s in a leather jacket that was too big for him going, hey, everybody, welcome to the... And as soon as I said, welcome to the... Whatever was in anyone's hands just came flying the stage. And so I still have nightmares about that.
Welcome to the... Thum-tum-bap.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, of course, got huge laughs when I got hit in the head with a bottle, like a plastic bottle. So that was my nightmare of like, yeah, you don't want to.
Way to be uncomfortable, man.
Yeah,
way
man. I really grew that day, you know. And I feel like Mike Ness really appreciated the sacrifice that I made for his show. I made that show
scar
better.
Tissue, man.
Yeah, that's, man.
You did grow.
Yeah, I did. I did. Just a little tissue. Extra skin to hide the crack that was in my head before that. But thank you guys so much for being here. It was really great to see you again.
All right. Likewise,
man.
Enjoy your burrito, everyone.
Yeah. The end. That was great.
Hey, bro, love that Ren and Stimpy thing.
Oh, thanks. I just bought... I collect animation cells. And for whatever reason... Ren and Stimpy's are super cheap right now. So I have, like, a stack of original production cells from Ren and Stimpy.
I love Ren and Stimpy. Did you see the adult Ren and Stimpy's that came
out? Yeah, they were on Spike.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a little much, and I think... John Kay really needed the counterbalance of Nickelodeon to just find this happy center.
When he was on Nickelodeon, there's a certain amount of like innocence that he had to interject into the episodes.
Yeah.
Whereas on Adult, it was just like
it was like Simpy gives birth to a piece of shit.
It was that was a bit too much.
Yeah,
it was a bit too much.
It was a bit much.
I mean, when they when they go on the beach, you know, and there's all these women and. You know, I mean, that was kind of weird. Because,
but those first episodes, like Space Madness and Nurse Stimpy and all those, The Littlest Giant, like those
yeah.
we
Going
still
to
watch
the
those.
Dentist,
yes, yeah. yes. Yeah. Yeah, my wife's a big Ren and Stimpy fan too, well, yeah, so we still watch them.
Yeah, me too.
That was what year was that?
91, 91. Yeah, because I remember I was in college, stumbled across it one Sunday, like what the fuck is this?
Pretty ahead of its time.
Way ahead of its time, and
holds up really well.
Completely.
Because like I watch them and I'm still cracking up. That same old stuff.
That but I'm that poor show time. Had so many. It had so many. So much. So many problems because. You know, the Nickelodeon and like basically fired John Kay, and then
why though?
I don't know. I'm sure it was just a difference of personality, difference of direction for the show, mm-hmm. and so they basically hired his right hand guy to then take over the show, mm-hmm. and
that's when it all changed.
And then it all changed, and then John drew a picture of his this guy that they used to be friends with his finger up a Ren doll, and then. But this is how this dates the story. Put the page in a fax machine and then taped the ends together so it just faxed on a loop over and over and over and over and over. So
that's hilarious. Yeah.
So that
too bad fax isn't around.
No,
it's like,
no fax.
It's like Rick Rolling someone fax style.
That's still around.
There are still fax. Yeah, people. It is. It's like there are some big antiquated corporate places where it's like. You have to fax in a sign. Like, it's a what?
Yeah, occasionally I get requests where I have to fax in something.
Yeah.
Like a form or something. I'm going, what?
It's, well, yeah, yeah.
Where the hell am I going to find a fax machine?
I did. I was like, can I just send in a PDF? No, it needs to be a fax. I'm like, you know I could counterfeit a fax the same. Like, it's not.
Yeah.
But anyway. Well, let's get you guys to sign the guest book.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Once upon a beat. Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me,
DJ Fuse,
and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the New Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once Upon a Beat.